There are all sorts of addictions in life, both good addictions and bad addictions. An addiction is a deeply ingrained habit which a person seemingly cannot live without. To be an addict means that, at least to some degree, you are a slave to your addiction. You are dependent upon your consuming passion. For example, my brother-in-law Joe is clearly addicted to golf. He's a true golfaholic. He will golf all morning, then golf all afternoon, and in the evening, he will talk endlessly about golf. A couple weeks ago, my sister phoned me to say that Joe had just gotten home from a golfing trip with some of his golfing buddies. Apparently, the weather was absolutely awful. But that didn't stop them from golfing right through 3 full days of wind, rain, and cold. That is what is called an addiction. Now, we also know there are bad addictions, like the addiction to drugs, tobacco or alcohol, to food, to money, to illicit sex or gambling, to anger, or even to violence. Good addictions like golf make someone happy, while bad addictions only bring sadness both to the addict and to those who share their lives. But really, there must be some passions in life in which people can get a bit overboard, get a little crazy, and be a bit extreme. Life would be banal and empty without any deep commitments. Especially, there should be some things that set our hearts on fire, like falling deeply in love, like loving a spouse, like loving children and grandchildren, like leaving all things for the sake of a religious vocation, like a passion for justice or a commitment to service. True love is supposed to be powerful and all-encompassing. True love should be a kind of addiction where someone is willing to give all that they have for the sake of the beloved. Holy Week, these days of awe, these 3 days of the sacred Triduum, are all about immoderate, intemperate, passionate love. The Savior's love for all of us was total and certainly extreme. As today's gospel reading from John states it, He loved His own in the world. He loved them to the end. On the night before He died for us, on the night when He established the priesthood, on that wondrous night, He gave us the most holy Eucharist. Jesus first assumed the role of a servant, and He washed the feet of His disciples. He said, "I have given you an example to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." There is no holding back here. Instead, there is amazing extravagance in Christ's intense love for us and in His insistent precept that we love one another in return. The Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper celebrates God's endless generosity in love, but also God's endless demand upon our hearts and souls. God is ever a jealous lover. God commands that we passionately hunger and thirst for His Son and serve Him as our Redeemer. God insists that we all become extremists for Christ, addicts for His great love, disciples who prefer nothing to the Lord, who in His passion and death preferred nothing to us. In the Mass, Christ's perfect sacrifice, once offered on the altar of the cross, is renewed and truly made present on this holy altar, which is before our eyes. As St. Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth, as recorded in today's second reading, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes in glory." As we live in hope and expectation of that promised day of the Lord and the final consummation of all things, the sacrament of the Lord's death and rising should purify and reorder all our other loves, all our passions, all our commitments. We are well nourished in the journey of life, for in the Mass we already taste and see the great goodness of the Lord.